All right.
One more time. Hide my ang I we hide my hide my hide my ang how if I get the fare nay hide my hide my.
Ah, welcome, O audience of the age. We are here. We have just now invoked the trickster redeemer without and its corresponding resonance within. We say, O spirit of the compassionate trickster, I have here the muti, which is rose petals and Syrian tobacco. Muti means power and medicine. True power is that which heals. So, and I also have from my wonderful ancestor dog, Captain Moondog Wolfie, and also Coyote here from the apparently eternal Stella Coyote. So we say, O spirit of the compassionate trickster that we are summoning right now, open the path before each one of us, that we may be great and resonant magnetizing storytellers at this time of dire beauty, and be danced into place where we can do the most good while having the most serious and dedicated fun. Okay, so many of you clearly have been hanging with me, and then there's also the people who were brought along by friends who are like, what? So welcome to everybody. We want to cross borders, cross-pollinate. You know, what is the trickster redeemer? We say, well, you know, there are qualities that reside within us that are waiting until it's against all odds. The trickster part of us waits until it's against all odds, waits backstage in the green room, and then goes, whoa, now is perfect. You know, and you know, so much of our language, if we excavate, you know, really guides us. So backstage is called the green room, and it's from Greek theater because it was sacred to Dionysus, the green man. So each actor, each part of us, backstage getting ready for this wild journey that we're about to take, you know, would dedicate themselves to the beauty of all the animals and all the plants and all the creatures on this planet, and then they would step onto stage. So that's what the back room really is. So we know the trickster part of us, you know, loves against all odds. The trickster part of us is the antidote to colonialism. It's about cooperate with everything. And it's also absolutely cooperate with the intelligence of nature. We say all myths really are representations of intrinsic qualities and smartness of nature. When we talk about the underworld and the underworld gods and goddesses, they really relate to the soil and the whole realm of bioremediation that we'll dive into. So, you know, I love that the trickster medicine is the sine qua non that brews all the other good-hearted medicines together. It's something that we really, you know, want to invoke because it's that extra ingredient right now, again, against all odds. So there are some sentences. How many people were here last year? Oh, wow. Ooh. So as you know, there will be some sentences I actually get to finish this year. I've done a trade-in. I've traded one large beard for two completely supportive Maori magic people, magic tricksters.
Tongan and Tongan.
So the sentence I didn't get to finish last year was there's but I held it. I know I'll get to finish it someday. Is the Thailand saying, I can almost hear a voice coming in going, which is, because we were never colonized, we never lost our animism. It's not the time now to practice tantrum yoga. To go, we want to compost tantrum yoga. That to be disappointed or a sense of futility is to serve empire and colonialism. I just want to put this out as a fun thing. So it serves it, going, you know, your words are actually serving, you know, even though you call yourself a huza huza, you're still serving colonialism and empire by going, passivity is toxic. Same idea, you know, a toxin or a sacrament, you know, in everything. So passivity, cynicism, you know, all serves, you know, colonialism in a sense. There's an antique version of, I ran across in my notes too, somebody quoting, It's Sarge, you know, existential, grumpy, smart guy, saying it comes down to the same thing: get drunk alone or lead the people. You know, and we all have our forms of getting drunk alone. You know, I think, you know, Law and Order reruns for some of us. But I wouldn't say lead the people. I think that's still, you know, we want to compost that, I think. But collaborate, rouse, you know, speak to the weary a word that will rouse them, says Isaiah, you know, and put things, you know, into the trickster translator going, oh, okay, yeah. So the trickster translator might say, get drunk alone, sounds good, but also come out and play. And we say, you know, metaphor is the agency of animism. So I do love, you know, when we go back to the liberated pre-colonial, like the actual teachings of Jesus who spoke Aramaic before St. Paul kidnaps the teachings in service to the state and colonialism. I mean, the stories we're dealing with start a very long way ago. And it's very, again, the gods are trying to make everything simple for us. So they go, we'll call a character, you know, Rand Paul, so you can be reminded of Ayn Rand and St. Paul. You know, maybe the humans will understand it then. Ayn Rand, you know, sociopathic, you know, interesting, strange, bad emigre, who said that community was bad, you know, and American spirit is more like, you know, she really admired serial killers, going, that's the American spirit, out for themselves, that's what we want, you know. And that's where the mega money is, you know, right now. And St. Paul going, no liberating teachings of Jesus. But, you know, one of great allies, Neil Douglas Klotz, Aramaic scholar, Jesus would have spoken Aramaic. It's the vernacular of the day. Richly metaphoric, complex, beautiful, musical language. And he says, you really lose its juice when you translate it into Greek, which is more kind of like, ugh. So I do love, you know, that he says to us, what comes to us as blessed are the meek in Aramaic is more like, blessed are those who soften emotional rigidity within their hearts, for they shall have all the power of nature. You can really work with that. And I'd also like to invoke the sacred teachings of the dog whisperer, Cesar Millan. You know, because he says, you know, we are the only species that will put up with incompetent leadership. I mean, it's true. You know, I think it is really, really appropriately time for humans to be way humble, going, whoa, we have just, you know, and to look to nature for guidance and admiration and mending our broken treaties. You know, and again, as many of you know, I love deriving models of leadership from, you know, the wolf pack, and as Cesar Millan does, but from the wolf pack, because the alpha wolf is the agreed by the group. It's the operates on charisma, not dominance. And in the culture, exactly. And in wolf culture, charisma means who initiates play best. Okay, now we've got a disciplined trickster thing going. Who initiates play? Not just play. Let's go hunting. Let's do this. But the key factor for wolf leadership, for the survival of the pack, is who engages the playful ingenuity of the team, of the pack. Number one leadership criterion. So we go, may it quicken in all of us. You know, and yeah. Then I like wedding it to the goose model, which is lead goose rotates. You know. And if, again, if you had an incompetent goose leader, like, whoa, you're fired. Okay, all right, next. No, that's not South, you know. Now, with the wolf model, it's also, you can tell the alpha wolf within 10 days of birth because it's the wolf pup with the lowest resting heartbeat. Ta-tum, ta-tum, ta-tum. So the coolest and the one who engages the greatest dynamism from the group, you know, to be really calm. You know, Sufi teacher Pir Zia says, let us relax our dissatisfaction with circumstance in order to be greater agents, you know, of healing in the world. So I just, you know, so when we get to the idea of this election, which I view as crucial, I'm really, you know, I mean, a lot of friends and people go, I'm disappointed and I'm not voting and I'm going to have tantrum yoga and I'm going to go, no, there's more at stake, you know, and, you know, we're very proud. I've never voted. And I'm going, well, silly old you, you know, I mean, but I go, you know, do you know where the word idiot comes from? Well, literally, it comes from Greek, idiotus, and it meant one who did not participate in public voting. That's what the word means. You know, so we're electing a story. You know, again, we're electing, you know, again, who can magnetize and invite the best of everyone in corporations, in government, in whatever, in the Tea Party, in the whatever, you know, cross-pollinate, invite the best of them, going, we need your ornery, creatively suspicious ingenuity. We admire your desire to know where you've been bamboozled, you know, but you're being fed a toxic mimic by, you know, but we are in Anna back here to show you where you're really being bamboozled, and to invite this forth, which is why, again, in our trickster backpack, you know, we have our magic mirror that we take with us everywhere. We say the secular critic holds up a mirror and goes, look, it sucks, in detail. You know, and then the trickster part of us with a wave of the hand turns the mirror into a window, but look how beautiful it could be. You know, and that's why, again, the gathering of our great team, the image for Venus's Sabian symbol this night is the Renaissance court, the gathering of the cultivated, you know, dynamic people really everywhere, but we get to be the representatives of that. So the trickster, you know, look how beautiful it could be. The magnetizing, mesmerizing, positive vision, like, how wonderful, of beautiful design and symmetry. You know, I saw a great short TV show on a woman artist whose primary art form was making puzzles out of fractals and building blocks of life and chemistry molecules. And she said, you know, perhaps one of our top three instincts is the instinct for symmetry. You know, we love symmetry in design. And she said, puzzles, when we put something in place, like so many of our great and genius teammates here, that, you know, we go, oh, that is so beautiful. We love that. You know, so so with another wave of the hand, turns the window into a door. Let's go. You know, so may we all carry this with us. Mirror, I mean, all parts are necessary, like earning the fifth act from fully addressing the horrors of the fourth act. Like, so we do want to, we need the mirror, boy, huna, you know, and then the window, and then the door. And really, this election is about that, which is why also Yorna says, you know, can each one of us, as an aspiration, embody a kind of democratic manner of relating? You know, I mean, I work with Pacifica Radio, bless its heart, you know, and there is a goddess of Pacifica there. There is a goddess of Pacifica there. Yay. The spells about leadership are strong. Oh, okay, but the spirit wants to be invited in. You know, and so many of our team's relationship to, you know, money and wealth and resources and power and leadership, you know, we want to tease this. So I to my teammates at Pacifica and to really everybody, I go, ally etiquette, you know, let us embody in our manner of team relating, you know, democratic principles, which goes something like this. So Uranus the trickster, spirit of democracy, last ideas associated with it are equality, democracy, synchronicity. And it means when we treat each other, you know, again, on stage we have different roles, backstage all equal. You know, when we treat each other and plants and animals and creatures and molecules with respect, you know, equally, the rate of synchronicity increases dramatically. You know, and we wonder, does synchronicity, the right conversation, the right thing, the right extraordinary thing, you know, universe talking to us, conversational affirmation that we're a part of a large, beautiful design, you know, does it increase or are we simply more available to it? And what the myths tell us is when we've gone to the underworld, when we've undergone some cataclysm, then synchronicity kicks in because we've let go of control so power can come through. Ah, what a relief. So ally etiquette says, you know, is our manner of relating an offering, woof woof, wanna play, or an imposition? Ugh. You know, so it's our words, our language, and our manner. You know, we can tell when imposition is coming at us, and, you know, even in small ways, and where this occurred to me was years ago when somebody said, let me play you some music I wrote. And I go, great. First two were offerings, you know, fifth and sixth imposition. Like, I really got to go pee now. I just, again, offering, ooh. Because, see, if it's really an offering, we are not attached to the response. You know, offering, woof, woof, want to play? No, you don't? Well, let's go over here. As opposed to, you know, I like saying, you know, Chalmers Johnson, a great guy, says, America, you can either have an empire or a democracy. Take your pick. It's one or the other. You know, and so it's also let everything, you know, what gives us more energy is a simple thing of whatever we do, the essence of ritual is whatever we do, we're just adding dedication. You know, we can sweep the floor or we can sweep out the past while we're sweeping the floor. The manner in which we go to vote. Also, come on in, forces of democracy, against all odds, you know. And it was Chalmers Johnson who brought up nemesis. The word nemesis means enemy, but really nemesis was a way cool goddess because she was the antidote to empire. It was nemesis who composted hubris and arrogance and kept leaders honest. And it's interesting we've made her like a bad thing, you know, or colonialism made her a bad thing. It was she that came across Narcissus, who was just causing trouble, you know, irresponsible poo air guy, getting everybody to fall in love with him. And he's like, and she was like, no, you fall in love with yourself and leave everybody to do their work. Goodbye. So, you know, I do love noticing that almost all cable news is brought to us by Viagra and Cialis. Because Empire just can't get it up anymore. So we do like saying, you know, if your empire lasts longer than 2,000 years, please consult your pragmatic mystics immediately. So the election, just a brief election model, which is why, see, I love the mythic news because it says, let us not be snookered by just what things look like, you know, on a surface level. So any of us, you know, lucky enough to have seen a $100 bill lately, you know, if you look at it, there's a very interesting design, which somebody had to point out. You look, and on the $100 bill, there's a watchtower. And on the tower, there's a clock with a time, 2:25. On the clock. And you go, well, that's interesting. You know, and then you go, AM or PM? And you go, well, there's shadows, so it's PM. So to do a chart for America, astrologers do this, you know, July 4th, 1776, there's a number of charts that have been used, but the 225 is interesting. It gives it a Scorpio rising, 9 degrees Scorpio rising. The image for that is a fellowship supper reunites old comrades. This year, on Tuesday, November 2nd, the sun is at 9 Scorpio, and 9 Scorpio is rising. A fellowship supper reunites old comrades. It says underneath the cynicism, underneath the like, oh, no, no, it says, no, there are vital forces at work. The image for Saturn on election day is miners emerging from a mine into sunlight. We go, well, we have that, you know. Let us all emerge, and let us emerge like those miners, you know, with a collective contract and lawsuits lined up. You know, you know, Pluto will still be at the party of campers pack their canoe at twilight, the ability to navigate dark waters. So it's, you know, and it's interesting, the moon will be right next to little asteroid Juno, and its image is strong hand of statesman supplants political hysteria. Again, that's the Stephen Colbert part of all of us, I think, you know. And so we go, it is such a fluctuating field right now. Jupiter and Uranus go stories, stories, flipping, 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 stories. The whole sky design is Jupiter and Uranus storytelling, but also it says synchronicity, an age of extraordinary ingenuity and inventiveness is culturally available. It's like, just get through the, you know, don't let the, let's not go backwards to the thing. You know, and it goes Jupiter, Uranus, then planets, 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 and then Saturn, dedication in Libra called Exalted, the realm of Venus and design. So the shape right now is like a crescent, crescent scoop up experience. And again, it says the still point of dedication guides the story. You know, there's a profusion of stories. There's 20, 30 stories all going on right now, all at once, and they can all be conflicting and all be true. The question is, which story are we going to intend and vote for and magnetize? And that's why we're gathered here right now, to choose that and to avail ourselves of the extraordinary ingenuity and experimental playfulness of people here now to take this out. Again, what story are we going to animate and intend? You know, I still love as a representation of empire, you know, from last year, but there's no better pharmaceutical ad that really embodies it than the ad for Abilify, whose side effects, and as Bruce Lipton said, there's no side effects, there's just effects. And he says, so it says Abilify, which is an antipsychotic to use on top of your antidepressant. And then underneath it says, you know, side effects may include involuntary muscle movements that may become permanent. It's like, now, there's an attractive image for democracy, like, whoa, you know, leading to coma and death. And then it goes right back into these people going, and that's why I believe in Abilify, you know, without irony. So it, you know, anything can, it can all stand up. But so, you know, I went to the TEDx Oil Conference in Washington, D.C., which was profound in June. And there were the world's great ocean and deep ocean scientists, and a kind of tarot card about where things are healing in a poignant way is the scientists were weeping. So they had no hard science demeanor left because they really do love what they study. And their great wish was for, you know, Americans to overcome their corn syrup Ambien-induced, you know, Abilify narcolepsy, and to remember, you know, this ongoing cataclysm that will take so long to resolve. You know, and we want to honor that, as in some soon moments we will be honoring our ancestors and the dead, and that includes the hundreds of thousands of creatures in the Gulf and everywhere, you know, who died. And I had Dave Gallo was there, and I scooped him up as a radio guest because he's one of the very few deep, deep, deep ocean scientists. And perhaps could you introduce our deep, deep ocean?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, kia ora, everybody, fellow tricksters in the house, under the mantle of trickster mother.
Yes, my son.
But this is Tangaroa. He is the, in Polynesian history, he's the god of the ocean. And his job, and these are all his children, all of the sea life. And his job is to look after them. And that's the relationship that we as humans on the land must bring back, is that we have a relationship with them. So that's part of why we're here at Bioneers and part of why he's here today.
Yep. And this is a big mother whale and baby whale, which are born on the reefs of Tonga, where I'm also from, stingray and the eagle. But the other thing that you talk about language,
yes.
All of the sounds of our language relate to parts of our creation stories. The E, the O, the A, the E, the O. And the word tahi is also a word for one, but also the word for self, and also our word for ocean.
Tahi. Say it again, tahi.
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 So you say tahi.
Tahi.
Tahi, that's one.
One.
That's me, self, and the ocean. So we are the ocean. I am the ocean. I am the seas. So tahi. That's why, yeah, tahi.
We are all in this large pulsing dream. Are there others you want to introduce now?
Yeah.
And this is the kahu wairua, which is the spirit bird.
Oh, yes.
And I've orientated it in that form because it represents birds that are under extinction. So it's morphing from this world to the next.
Mm.
So it's up to us to ensure that it, you know, it stays alive.
Yes, and we will, and we will.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and just obviously the salmon, and you've got the little red thing on the red.
The design on the salmon is a genealogical design for future generations. So it's, you know, to make sure that the salmon survive.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. And going back to the words again, as I said with E or A E U, after tahi is rua.
Rua.
Rua, and it's ancient Polynesian, so it goes back thousands of years. Rua is the first part of the god of volcanoes, Ruaumoko. So what we're doing after the ocean is we invoke the god of volcanoes. That's two, Rua. So it's about the creativity of two.
That's great.
Yeah.
And I love our ally Bob Goff, who's working to do Red Green Power, Wind Power. He says, talking to the Christian fundamentalists, go, you don't want power from hell, which is coal and underworld. You want power from heaven, which is wind and sun. It's really good. It's really good. Again, willing to shapeshift into whatever metaphors are available. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really simple, but coming to Toru, that's the three, the strength of three. But the really important space, I think, where we are now, like in the US with the democracy and what you're trying to invoke, getting in the waka, is that fa, the word fa is the word for four. But it's more than that. Fa includes wa, which is our word for space and time, and ha, which is our word for the breath of life. So fa is the breath of life, the breath that we breathe in this space and time. And then that word fa is the first part of whānau, which means family. So whānau, or us, family together. And then when you say whānau, whānui, we continue to, it's like exponential growth.
So can you guide them to say this beautiful word?
Okay.
So it's say fa.
Fa.
It's no. So it's whānau.
Whānau.
It's family.
And whānau, whānui.
Whānau, whānui.
Whānau, whānui.
Whānau, whānui.
And the other really cool thing is when we talk about whakapapa.
Whakapapa.
Whakapapa. Whakapapa. The first part of that is fa.
Fa.
The second part is ka.
Fa.
And the last bit is papa.
Papa.
And that is the word, the fa, ka, papa, connects us to all of the universe.
And
all of our relationships.
And it makes a great provocative bumper sticker.
Faka Papa.
I think that's good.
Yes.
That's good. So splendid. Yes, good. Yes, more soon. More soon. So Dave Gallo and our allies, again, we are all in one large pulsing dream. Dave Gallo is a great guide to the deep, deep, deep sea. You know, and As Wikuki was guiding us, again, the deep, deep sea, like in Santeria, it's Ologun. It is so deep and mysterious that it is bisexual, masculine and feminine. Deep, deep, deep. And he says, the deep, deep ocean, you know, that only a handful of people know about, including James Cameron, who actually offered some of his submarines to go, who really does know. And he says, the deep ocean is more prolific than any rainforest. There are waterfalls down there. There are, you know, springs. There's incredible vitality in life, this incredible thing, you know. And he also said, which is a heartening, redemptive antidote, he said there are these, again, deep steam, hot vents that are biogenesis, in which you see life actually being created and blown into the sea, like poof, you know, which is the contrast to the toxic, what we saw so much, which was the oil gushing forth, but biogenesis is so strong. So again, our desire to align, you know, with all of this, and to not, you know, not let the Gulf be forgotten. And that's why I also just like to bring up, you know, ally, frequent radio guest David Bloom. Alcohol can be a gas, and he does address the toxic distractions about, you know, food source and what he goes. No, you don't need to do any of that. He says all waste could be turned into alcohol. Toxic melamine recalled pet food, alcohol. Frozen orange crops, alcohol. But one of the great visions he has, and again, I would really love to animate this, and we'd like funders with about $10 million each, here's this great vision, though, especially now that the, you know, Gulf moratorium on drilling was lifted. Whoa, although it will take months for it to be, yeah, exactly. But here's a preemptive vision that we want to animate, you know, and instill. So Dave Gallo says there's all these abandoned oil rigs. You know, you could have them for about $10 million each. And he said what you could do is you could then have kelp harvests in the Gulf, which would begin to bioremediate the Gulf. The kelp itself, every 2 weeks you get a harvest. You have employed people from the Gulf working on the rigs to do the kelp farms, non-toxic rig work. You know, every 2 weeks they pull up a kelp harvest, you turn it into alcohol. He says we could fuel between a quarter and a half of the nation's energy supplies necessary from the Gulf, from the poison. You know, and then you bring Paul Stamets in to bioremediate what's left over, and you turn that... and you turn that into non-toxic fertilizer. Ta-da! You know, I mean, what a great vision. You know, So I like just returning briefly to the realm of words, you know, because Pluto's going to provide us a cauldron to which we get to throw things, and you know, default setting is just in case, throw it into the cauldron in case it won't, you know, if it's fine, it'll come back out. But, you know, not only our kind of, Uranus would say to us, you know, the spirit of democracy and freedom, we don't really care what you humans do. I mean, other gods or intelligences do. We care the manner in which you do it, that it be from true freedom, democracy, and choice, as opposed to habit and conditioning. Habit and conditioning, very vulnerable, including language. So, you know, I'm going to say some of my least favorite words that I would like to throw into the cauldron. And if you love them, keep them. you know, but as a choice. So for instance, you know, our team not only uses the word fight, but very often uses the word impact. You know, that was very impactful. Do you want to have an impact? And I go, do you really want to have a violent, short-term, big bang kind of a thing? Or how about a long-term influence? You know, the word empower, I'm very up for composting because it is predictable, expected, and I think kind of narcoleptic. It's like, that's very empowering. because etymologically, it also means power from outside. Something yeah. empowers something else, as opposed to a kind of... The word encourage does so well almost wherever we use the word empower, which means feed the heart. You know, that was very encouraging. That idea was very encouraging, meaning feeds your own autonomous heart. I just find it more democratically. So I'm throwing empower into the cauldron, you know, just for the fun of it, because it is predictable. It's like, you know, in the Illuminatus trilogy, this very fun kind of 1960s, you know, long thing. But they said, you know, part of how humans are conditioned, you know, again, serving empire, is there are certain words we're trained to be affected by but not hear, and they said the word fenord, you know, and so the news would be, and we were trained to not hear it but for it to thrust us into passive disappointment and anxiety and despair. So the news would begin, good evening, fenord, and we'd go, oh, you know. So I'm kind of viewing empower as sort of the fenord going, and that was very empowering. Similarly, I think the metaphor of wound, I think there's so many other words and metaphors we could invoke. Unless you're bleeding and going to the emergency room, I think yeah. the use of the word wound wants to be composted. There was the men's yeah. group, and then there's the women's group, and then, okay. you know, and we go, no, I mean, are we worshiping the thing? You know, so, you know, the opposite of empower is the pattern on the trestle board that begins, all the power that ever was or will be is here now. You know, and then just, you know, friends who knew, I just wanted to stick this in somewhere. Just because, you know, again, language and play and spiraling. So somebody said, a paraprosdokian is a figure of speech in which the latter part of a sentence or phrase is surprising or unexpected in a way that causes the reader or listener to reframe or reinterpret the first part. So it's useful. It's again the like wait for it. So surprising. Now many of you might have heard this, but the most famous wonderful internet example is, I want to die peacefully in my sleep like my grandfather, not yelling and screaming like the passengers in his car. Anyway, so. It's very good. See, because it completely changes the story. You go, oh. I see some of you haven't heard that. How wonderful. So, because what it does is, again, just put that in your magic backpack, because it's, again, I want to die peacefully in my sleep like my grandfather, oh, kind of pious, boring, like, oh, wait a minute, it's a whole a whole story revision, you know. So, but with also, you know, Saturn in Libra, its image now is a canoe leaving, you know, turbulent rapids, heading into calmer sailing water. And Saturn is called exalted in Libra, again, Venus's sign. And it reminds us to understand and honor, again, the fourth act, the cost of sacrifice and beauty, of so much that we've rudely taken advantage of. Bees, sacred to Venus, you know, that we take their honey and we've treated them rudely and we have the colony collapses, which are going to be very important, and we drive them around. But even the deal, and I just remember living with the beekeepers at Findhorn a million years ago and just saying, what do the bees get out of this? You know, what's the backstage deal? And they said, well, they cut a backstage deal. And they said, nature is harsh, you know, especially in the north of Scotland. Sometimes bees in nature don't make enough honey to survive. So they cut a deal with the bees, going, oh, bees, how about this? When you make a surplus, we will take your surplus. But when you don't make enough, we will bring you honey to guarantee your survival. And the bees were like, cool, you know, we're up for that. And they walked in, no helmets, no protective gear. They had again, like the Lakota teacher was guiding us, they had a contract, they had a backstage deal. And the idea of the marketplace, the invisible backstage marketplace, you know, as well as the onstage literal marketplace, it's very heartening in world mythology that the god presiding metaphor of the marketplace is Yornus, the trickster in the realm of ingenuity. that the marketplace is not meant to be this, you know, boring, horrible mall. It's meant to be the caravanserai. The storyteller part of each one of us lives in the marketplace. You know, the caravan of camels coming in from Syria and spices and exotic things. It's meant to be the place of, again, ingenuity. And it's a fine place also, you know, for we are so wealthy with ingenious solutions that now want to move into the marketplace. And also the power of story, you know, to spiral forth, you know, and in this all-inclusive, you know, anchored to the reality of, you know, here's an opportunity, here's an opportunity, here's what we could do, this turning point. But to honor the beauty of the world, you know, I spent time in Bali, which so many people go, oh, it's very paradise, you know, and it's so paradisical, and the labor is so cheap. You know, I mean, there's 8 million yoga studios in Bali, and they're all going, it's so beautiful, and it's paradise, and the labor is so cheap. And we go, ooh, colonial alert, you know, spiritual colonialism alert. Bali has the highest mortality rate in the world of women giving birth and dying. And that's the price of paradise. And part of how I was guided into that wonderful woman who runs Bumi Sehat, which is this great many things, but also free birthing clinic. But when I had her on the radio, she said, well, the alleged green revolution, you know, all the ways back, you know, moved in and said, you silly, primitive, superstitious, animistic people, we have science, animism is silly, and you can have four crops, you know, instead of three, and here's this wonderful white rice that includes pesticides and everything like that, here, do that thing. And so the red rice, very nutrient-rich, went away. I mean, again, people are trying to bring it back. So then in Bali, everywhere, there's beautiful altars and flowers everywhere. It's fantastic. They're made freshly, these woven baskets and flowers. And you go, what a fantastically beautiful culture. So I asked a Balinese woman, when do you make, how many of these do you make a day? And she said, 50. I go, whoa. And we were just making one. It took us about an hour to make one. You know, she was like, nah. And I said, when do you make those? And she said, well, after I get up in the morning, after the bombings in Bali, women are hired more because we're paid less. And then we get back and I do all the cooking for the kids and get them to school and get them to sleep and get them, put them to bed. And then around midnight, I start making 50 baskets for the husband's altar, the tourist altar, the thing, the inside the home that we get to go to. And then, you know, die in childbirth, undernourished, underslept, overworked. The price of beauty. You know, again, we want to really dive deep into the underworld. We want to earn the fifth act by really knowing the fourth act. You know, also, I didn't know really the sacrifice involved in making silk until I went to a silk rug factory in Turkey. And, of course, the silkworms weave their little cocoons, and then they take the cocoons and boil them alive to get the silk. I'm like, oh, I didn't know. I didn't know the price, the sacrifice for beauty. Now, there are people who are more expensively doing green silk, which is you let the silkworms hatch and then you piece the strands back together because they've hatched and emerged and broken the threads. We go, okay, we should at least know, you know, the price. You know, and again, in the sense of, in Arabic, you know, istaghfirullah means, you know, forgiveness, forgive of self and forgive others. We go, oh, forgive us. The extraordinary work of ally Chris Jordan and Manuel Maqueda on we must break the spell of plastic. And again, this is... And this, again, is art in service to the price and the cost. And so some of you, there's a wonderful exhibit, you know, the great bird made out of plastics found on the beach, you know, here, that just over on our campus, that is very profound. And it starts off with Chris Jordan's photographs. He journeyed to Midway Island in the middle of the ocean, you know, very far away from other land, but very near these plastic garbage gyre, you know, in the sea. Although there is no seawater that does not have plastic mixed into it, because that's what we've done. And he photographs that Midway Island is where the albatrosses breed and have their babies. And so the albatross parents, again, this sacrifice and cost of beauty, they fly hundreds of miles over the sea to bring back food for their babies. And what they're bringing back is plastic lighters and nets and bottle caps. And so Chris Jordan has photographed all these birds who are dead in their elegant death throes, so poignant and, you know, awkwardly graceful. And, you know, and as they decay, you see from top to bottom nothing but our waste. Bottle caps, pens, lighters, things, flip it, you know, from top to bottom in these beautiful birds. And when you see it, you go, oh, we must, you know, sink to our knees. Here is sufficient incentive. And then, again, what Chris Jordan and so many people and people hear about going, well, we have incentive. How do we get rid of plastic? You know, how do we quit this? And again, as Chris and I have talked, you know, birds are auguries. You know, and he says they're here to tell us that it's in us too, you know, and how this goes. And he's made these terrible, beautiful photos that are just like, oh. And one of the things, like seeing the movie The Cove about dolphin slaughter, at first you think like, oh, I don't want to see it, I don't want to see it, oh no. You know, but then again, earning Act 5 by acknowledging Act 4, because after I saw the movie The Cove, I was like, I want everybody to see this. You know, and in the same way with Chris Jordan's photographs, I want everyone to see what we're doing. That for the first time in human history, we have so much waste, which again is toxic, and that is, again, as people here so well know, you know, waste, banana leaf, you know, somebody eats it. But this is, it's a design failure. And on the mythic level, you know, I think it's also, a powerful mythos. I asked David Bloom, can we turn plastic into alcohol? And he goes, no, not, you know, it's not the best, you know, almost everything, but not that. But he said, polyethylene starts off as ethylene. You could actually also turn plastic back into fuel. You could do this. You know, and mythologically, I was going, ooh, ethylene, wait a minute. I remember ethylene, not from chemistry class, but from psychoactive plants, because the oracle at Delphi, they've discovered, you know, recent scholarship, is that her chair of prophecy was over this vent that was outgassing ethylene, which actually smells quite sweet. People were like, it smells very sweet in here. And they would cover it up like in a tent, you know, accumulate ethylene for about a week, and the Delphic Oracle would step into it and go, you know, great empire will fall. Don't recommend invading Persia, or whatever. We do know a lot about what was asked at the Delphic Oracle, and it wasn't fortune-telling. It was, are the gods, is nature in accord with this plan? And if not, what do we humans do to better come into accord with it? That was really the gist of most of the questions, which are smart ones. But I like the idea that the symbolism, too. We've taken ethylene prophecy and turned it into polyethylene. So let's go back to, again, Captain Kirk getting stoned on ethylene and bring back prophecy. The language model I love from a group dedicated to radical joy. They say this. In 1978, when Oneida Indian engineer David Paulus received a grant to research and develop a process for recycling hazardous industrial steel waste, he scrambled jubilantly to the top of a towering mound of waste and declared, "I will conquer you." In an instant, however, he recognized that his attitude was all wrong. He said, "I realized that the waste was an orphan that had been lost from the cycle of life. And I saw that my task was to bring it back into the cycle of life." It's like a friend of mine quipped years ago. She said, "It's not men I have a problem with; it's what I do with them." You know, so it's not the plastic, it's not the oil; it's what we do with it. It's what we do with it. Six what?
Six.
No, really? Oh my God. Okay. All right. We're going to move slowly at a slow but stately, exuberant pace. Okay. Here we go. So. Orphan places, they recommend loving orphan places. And that brings us to Haiti. You know, we wonder, the places like Haiti and New Orleans, who have this fantastic spiritual technology of, you know, reverence between the worlds that so much take the economic and hit. And what does that mean? And just when Haiti was founded Sunday, January 1st, 12:03 p.m. in Gonaïves, Haiti, the independence chart, Mars was at 3 Capricorn. A party of campers packing their canoe at twilight, the ability to navigate dark waters. Pluto is right on that. So our kinship. And we remember just one of the mysteries of colonialism is that the oppressor seeks the medicine of what he colonizes or oppresses. England really needed the spiritual medicine of India.
Yes.
We really need the medicine of Haiti and New Orleans. We really need the elegance and culture of reciprocal blessing of the Middle East. Which again, when you throw out all the, you know, again, the Middle East is so full of reciprocal blessing. Again, a culture of reciprocal blessing. When you go to Syria, a wonderful place, you know, a complex and wonderful place, very safe for women to travel in Syria, deep cultural respect. You know, but the most useful Arabic phrase there is Islamuiden. May the divine bless your hands that have made such beauty. And again, you can use that every half hour. Like, oh, how beautiful. And in the same way, I was so moved by having a beautiful meal in a truck stop with my friend Deborah, who speaks beautiful Arabic, and the waiter just says, young boy waiter says to her, anything else, madam? And she says, salam tak, only your peace. I love that. Anything else, only your peace. How wonderful. So on my way here, I heard an interesting thing, and I think this is good. I think it's actually going to work. That Haiti is now partnering with Macy's. There's going to be voodoo ceremony in Macy's. And you might think, oh, Macy's up to no good. And I go, I wouldn't really mess with voodoo if my heart wasn't exactly pure. You know, it's like the Stephen Wright joke. I played tarot cards last night. I played poker last night with tarot cards. I had a full house and 8 people died. You know, or he says, you know, you're walking down the street and, ooh, suddenly you feel better. Voodoo acupuncture. You know, but again, you know, the idea, how interesting that they are actually, you know, doing nonprofit, you know, funding of the incredible artistry. Like Bali, again, you know, price of beauty, but everyone's an artist in Bali, truly. And Haiti, incredible. You know, and talk about go to the underworld and back. The people emerging from the rubble in Haiti, we emerged after a week singing. You know, again, so we have grief and remorse and poignancy and kinship. So you were going to maybe sing us a beautiful song of grief and beauty and turning.
Athena?
Oh, yes, maybe that's true, since we're racing for home. All right, you can come for the complete edition next year. almost ready, almost ready. Okay, I just want to throw out another Robinette Kennedy wonderful thing. She says, what if the idea of matriarchy is a patriarchal concept? It's kind of fun. Take it in your backpack and think about it. As opposed to actual democracy, actual equality, wouldn't that be the most radical feminist thing you could have, which is, you know, non-matriarchal but actual democracy? All right, so I'm skipping through many fantastic things. See me later. No. That's how we're going to do it. But again, we are going to suck the G out of kingdom. Let's just do that together. Let's suck the G out of kingdom. Exhale that G to where it belongs, which is everywhere. And what it leaves is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, which is much more in keeping. So there's two parts to this. Okay, we'll be efficient. We'll be efficient. But right now, Pluto is providing us with a cauldron. It's the pub of the hurling coyote. So first, before we get to redemption, we get to go, and we have great leaders here, we get to go, this was from Stella Coyote, my coyote friend, who taught me that when she eats poison, she then dug a beautiful little cauldron pit into which she would then elegantly hurl. Okay, and then she covered it up with her little pointy nose, and it was like that's quite elegant as well as dramatic, Stella. So I just want to briefly, we have a cauldron here, you know, and you can call out, we have some, you know, whatever, what do we want to put into the cauldron and go, you know, but let's say for starters, how about we are willing, you know, any part of us, we are withdrawing any complicity with colonialism, known or unknown. All right, let's go. Well, on the count of three, we can go, bleh! Okay, that's very good. How about throwing disappointment into the cauldron? Bleh! That's very good. How about tantrum yoga? Bleh! All righty. That'll do for now. Right. Okay, now, all right. The very last part of alchemy is, that's right, the alchemist part of each one of us, you know, is holding this bubbling cauldron, blah, 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 blah. And it begins to get polarized, you know, the stories are polarized, and the vapors of moral ambiguity fill the world, and it's really scary. And the alchemist part of all of us could get frightened, you know, but what the alchemist must do is reach up. Here we are, trickster rather than martyr, and invite in the trickster, ingenious, redemptive grace into the cauldron. You know, and then we can have a color, and then it begins to metabolize into liquid gold, and we can have a wise culture. Now, from that cauldron arises the phoenix. And the phoenix is the mythological bird that sings this hauntingly beautiful song. And all of creation stops what they're doing and is reminded of the phoenix's song and reminded of everything that's important, kindness and reciprocal blessing and reverent ingenuity. So the phoenix, are you going to give voice to the phoenix?
Hiki mai na pua I kala ie, ke pi ia e la kamauna ki e ki e. Ha'a mai nā kama me kamaku, he vehi pūlama o ke kupuna. E ka I mai ana, e ka I mai ana, e haha I ka leo o ka kue.
So beautiful. What we're composting, we're taking madness into Majnun. Majnun is a wonderful Arabic word that means crazy for the divine, crazy to collaborate with the divine. And so we do, in the words of my buddy Robert Bly, we do also want to honor, before we set sail, which we're going to do in a moment, he ends his poem, Keeping Our Small Boats Afloat. He says, you know, each of us deserves to be forgiven, if only for our persistence in keeping our small boats afloat, when so many have gone down in the storm. We want to feel all of our allies, you know, who are not in this world, the animal allies, the human allies. You know, and I want to dust off, you know, Gandalf, who says, you know, the tide has turned, the great storm is coming, but the tide has turned. And so we're going to conjure our willingness to collaborate with everything to magnify the unifying story and send it spiraling forth into the memosphere. And now, Oikuki and Tanya Wolfgram will guide us in our finale. Yes.
Okay, so under the art of collaboration, we're going to pedal this canoe over here.
Oh, good.
Okay, all of us. So I'm going to need everybody to stand up.
Uh-huh.
And to pretend that you're all holding a pedal, left hand or right hand, whichever way, because the canoe action is like this. Okay? Right. Now, to start off with, it's going to be like this, across the canoe. And I'm going to give you the call, Kilmo. When you hear that, you go,
hee,
hee. Practice it,
hee.
Okay, let's try that. Kilmo.
Hee.
That's fantastic. What a
what a waka.
Right. Then I'm going to go, tena tautaua. And you all got to go,
hee.
And then I'm going to call out, and you're going to lean forward and go, hee.
Hee.
So, okay, let's start again. So from here, kia mo, down here. Kia mo.
Hee.
Tēnā tautaua.
Hee.
So we're all rowing the canoe here. We're all in time. We're all rowing the canoe.
Hee.
Rindi waka.
Hee.
Tere waka.
Hee.
Tere kita.
Hee.
Tai kita.
Hee.
Haka tuate.
Hee.
Tauai tafati.
Hee.
Hee.
He.
He. Okay, just stop right there. Then for the finale, when we're doing the he's, I'll go, Nga ho e wha inganguru nei. And you go, oh, oh, owe ha.
He.
He. And pukana. And then pukana.
And when you get down to
he,
you do a pukana. Everybody know what a pukana is? Okay, that's where you pick at your tongue and you go, okay, that's your war face. That's your war face. Okay, let's put it all together.
Okay.
Okay. Across here, Kia mo.
Okay.
Kia mo.
He.
Tēnā tautaua.
He.
He. Rowing the canoe.
He.
He. Rini wā.
He.
Tere wā.
He.
Tere kita.
He.
Tai kita.
He.
Haka tuate.
He.
Tauai tafati.
He.
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 A ngā hau e wha e ngā guru nei.
Oh. Oh. Ohe ha.
He.
Well done. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean. Thank you, Wee Cookie. Thank you, Tanya Wolfram. We are a party of campers. Thank you for doing this work. Thank you all for doing this beautiful work. Yay. We are sailing to Inanna's Island, getting ready to take culture back. Nothing can stop us now.